comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful, beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's a place where you actually matter. And that's not just a cliche. It's the truth. K-Files, well, if you're not subscribed to the K-Files, you are and shall continue to be in the dark. And there's no reason for it because the K-Files is free. All you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Click the link that says K-Files, subscribe, and you're in. It's that simple. And then you're no longer in the dark. Well, big things are happening, and they're happening not just all around the world, but around the solar system and I guess around the galaxy. Do you remember that movie called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Remember that? And remember when the sun began to just sort of begin to break through the clouds a little bit and some of the ice began to just melt a little bit and then it just continued to increase and more sun and more ice melted. And all throughout the land, all the little creatures were whispering to each other, Aslan is on the move. Remember that? Well, I'll tell you what, when you look around at everything that's going on, it sort of gives you the feeling you're living in Narnia. Big things are happening, and the old paradigm is dying right before your eyes. The old paradigm is in its death throes, and it goes through spasms once in a while, but it's going through its death throes right before your eyes. And it's almost like saying, Aslan is on the move. Something's on the move. The sun's beginning to break through the clouds. The ice is beginning to melt. The iron-fisted grip that corrupt leaders have had on people for years and years is slipping through their fingers. And it's an exciting time to be alive. Well, look, tonight we've had a change of plans. I was supposed to have a very special guest here tonight, and I never even told you his name, and I'm not going to now, because we are going to bring him back. But he was prevented from being here on the show. He was prevented from coming here and speaking to you on this show. And I am going tonight to tell you exactly what happened to him. How he was prevented from being here. I think you probably will be able to figure out why he was prevented. And I know that he was prevented because it was not just an accident. I know someone did something because somebody's doing something right now trying to keep those who are watching on KSS-TV from being able to watch because they're hitting our computer hard, hot, and heavy. Right now, I'm watching the throughput meter, and they're hitting us hard right now. So I don't know how long the TV channel will stay up. If the TV channel goes down, remember it's a radio show, and just click over to the audio player, and we'll continue with the show. Okay? All right, we'll be back right after this. Right. let me tell you what happened to our guest. As you know, I don't normally announce who's coming. Once in a great while, I will, at the end of a show, announce who's going to be with us the next night. I don't normally do that. And I get criticized for it. I understand that you would like to know who's coming. However, this show, and maybe other shows have this, in fact, other shows do have this happen, but a lot of other shows have a big staff that can take care of all kinds of contingencies and emergencies, and you're looking at the staff of the Kevin Smith Show right here. This is it. So maybe it's just a little more visible when something happens. But what happens is if I announce who's coming, and if we're going to be talking about something rather serious, rather sensitive, well, what happens is either me or the guest will have some kind of weird problems that make it almost impossible to do the show. A lot of times what happens is our telephone system gets hit. A lot of times it's the guest and their telephone system. And, it's breaking up and they can't understand, they can't hear. Now we hear and everything sounds fine. But on their end of it, they're having a hard time hearing. And so I get people write to me. They send me emails telling me I'm paranoid. And then there are people that, tell me that, it's just bad equipment here. Well, it's not our equipment. This equipment has... This is good equipment, and this equipment has been gone over by an electrical engineer. It is good equipment. So I'm not paranoid. I mean, if these things happen, and you know they do because you hear them when they happen, and, so I'm not paranoid. But that's why I don't often announce who's coming. I didn't announce it this time. However, I made the mistake of saying what we were going to be talking about. And I surmise that the PTBs, you know who that is, the PTBs? We refer to them as the powers that be. Whoever they are, I don't know who they are, apparently did not want him to be on this show talking to you about what we were going to discuss tonight. Now, those of you who have been listening to the show, you've been watching the show, you know what I announced that we were going to talk about. Well, he and I have been in communication today, but his phones, mysteriously, have gone dead. Now, you might think, well, maybe it's just something peculiar to his area. Maybe there's some construction going on. Maybe there's something like that. I don't know. It could be. But don't you find it curious that at the very same time our video feed is being hit? Now, we're getting around it right now, but it's being hit. We encode this at 60 frames per second. The throughput on this normally gives us 49 point something, almost 50 frames per second, where that's what's getting to Justin TV. And right now, it's 23.87. And I can watch it when we're getting hit. I can watch those numbers go up and down. I can watch as we get hit. And so there's someone that apparently is trying to disrupt our connection. Like I said, we're getting around it right now. And if the video does go dead, for those who are watching, remember, it's a radio show. So just flip on over there to the radio side, and the show is still going on. I've got, we will try and have him at some time in the future. I will not tell you that he's coming, and I will not tell you what we're going to talk about. It'll just be a surprise. And we'll have him on, and I think it will be a fantastic, fantastic show. It's about something really, 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 really big. Okay, I want to share with you two or three emails here that I've gotten that I thought were worthy of airtime, because they do represent a number of other emails that are very, very similar. And then we'll go open line, but let's get these emails in first. Kevin, I recently saw astronaut Gene Cernan on Fox News. I think he was the last astronaut on the moon. Anyway, he said something about Buzz Aldrin going back to Mars. I couldn't believe my ears. Did he just let it slip that astronauts have already been to Mars? That's from Jeff in Alabama. Well, Jeff, you know, I saw that live, and I watched I was watching the news that morning and having a cup of coffee, and I remember the interview, but I didn't notice that. So I looked it up on YouTube, and sure enough, he uses the phrase, says something about Buzz Aldrin going back to Mars. But I'll tell you, within the context of what they were talking about, I think it was just a slip of the tongue kind of thing that he meant moon. I think he really meant to say moon, because they were talking about the cancellation of the NASA moon project, moon program, where we were supposed to go back to the moon and establish a base there. And I don't think he was making any kind of disclosure. I don't think that Buzz Aldrin has ever been to Mars. Really, when you look at it within the context of everything they're talking about, I think it was just a slip of the tongue. I could be wrong, but I think so. Okay, let's see. All right. Mr. Kevin, I know you don't think any kind of great disaster will happen in 2012, but if it does, who do you think are the most likely to survive? Melissa in Arkansas. Well, look, let me clarify again, Melissa. Listen carefully. I'm not saying there won't be any great catastrophes in 2012. There may be. What I'm saying is that I don't think that there's anything really significant about December the 21st, 2012. I think there are going to be earthquakes. I think there are going to be tsunamis and hurricanes, cyclones, dust storms. It's going on now, and we're not in 2012 yet. So I think what we're seeing happen will continue. And I think 2012 will have some catastrophes in it somewhere in the world. I'm pretty sure it will. And there may be an increase. They seem to be increasing now. But I don't think that when December the 21st rolls around, that all hell breaks loose and the earth goes out of business. I just don't buy that. Now, can I be wrong? Yes. And if it happens, I'm going to find out about it right when you do. But I don't see any evidence that leads me to believe that on December the 21st, 2012, all hell breaks loose and Earth goes out of business. I don't see that. I don't, you know, if it happens, it happens. But who do I think would survive? Someone said to me, and it may have even been on a show, I don't remember, but someone said to me, the Amish community will survive. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the Amish know how to live without all the modern gadgets and trinkets. They know how to grow their own food. They are a tight-knit community, and they take care of each other. And so who will survive? I think they have a very, very high probability of survival. Okay, this one from Charles in Nevada. Your defense of NASA is indefensible. These guys have putzed around for the past... Charles, that's good. That's a good choice of words. These guys have putzed around for the past three decades and have nothing to show for it but a space hotel that they aren't even going to be able to fly to after this year. I say close them down and good riddance. You know, I can't argue much with what you say. I don't really argue with it. Here's the deal. I go beyond that. I think NASA has not only putzed around for the past three decades when it comes to manned space exploration. Not only have they done that, they have actively covered up, obfuscated, and in some cases, I think, lied about what they have discovered out there with the various robotic missions that they send out, the probes, the satellites. So I would go beyond saying they've putzed around. Here's the deal, though. The deal is they are the only show in town when it comes to being able to put somebody in orbit tomorrow. And as far as America goes, they are the only show, that's the only show in town. And while they have obfuscated and tried to hide the truth from us on many, many, many issues, and look, it doesn't do any good. I am a fan of NASA. I've never, ever said otherwise. I am a fan of NASA. It doesn't do any good for people who are fans of NASA or for people who work for NASA to get upset about what I'm saying, because you know it's true. You know that there's been all kinds of rigging of the colors of photographs. You know that there's been airbrushing objects out of the photographs. You know it. We know it. We've seen the photographs. So I would go beyond saying they've putzed around. They have actively tried to keep us from knowing the truth on many, many things. However, nobody else is releasing any photographs to you. When's the last time the U.S. military, through their space program, released any photographs to us for us to look at and for us to see Mars or the moon or any other planets? When's the last time the military did that? They're not going to. They've never done it. They're not going to do it. And your only hope of getting any information about what's out there on the moon or on Mars or Venus or Mercury or any of the planets, your only hope is NASA. Even if they monkey around with the photographs a little bit, we still see some amazing things in those photographs that they didn't get, that they didn't cover up. So, you know, I fully understand the feeling that some people have that NASA needs to go. I understand that. I disagree with it, and I disagree with it for the reasons I've just stated. However, I will state again what my program for NASA would be. Number one, double their budget. Instead of telling them they can't go to the moon, double the budget and tell them stop monkeying around, get there. Get this done. Number two, I'd have a house cleaning down at NASA, and everybody who's been involved in these cover-ups has to go. Number three, I give them some new marching orders and tell them, tell the public what you find. Quit covering things up. Tell the public what you find. So that would be my program for NASA. And I say again, if NASA closes, And they may as well, if they're not going to be in manned space exploration, they may as well close. If we're not going back to the moon, that pretty well says we're out of the space exploration business. So at least that's the way I see it. You may see it differently. But that's kind of how I view that. But I think they ought to double the budget and then get on with this. One last. I've got some more, but we'll do one more and we'll let that suffice. Hello, Kevin. I've been listening to your show since back when you started in Kosovo. I must say you have sure been through some fire since then, and you seem to be able to keep going. In that light, I want to ask you a question. It seems like the whole world is coming undone, and there are disasters and strange events every few days. Does any of this frighten you or make you nervous about the future? How do you handle it? This is from Greg in Mississippi. No, it doesn't frighten me. Someone who's been through everything I've been through, and you have a different set of experiences, a different set of circumstances, but you haven't had an easy life either, Greg, and neither have any of the people watching this show or any of the people listening to this show. Life is tough, and every single one of us have had our noses bloodied several times through life. And when you've been through these things, and you don't fall apart, you keep going, and you keep going because you have to. What choice do you have? Your choices are fall apart and check out, or keep going. So those who have kept going, like you, Greg, and like everyone in the audience, you've kept going. Well, if some other big thing happens and it looks dire, I know I can make it through because I've made it through these kinds of things before. And furthermore, I know if I don't make it through it, if I am a casualty of whatever's coming, so what? Now, I'm not a fatalist. It's just that I have lived a full life. I want to live some more. But if it doesn't happen, c'est la vie. We'll be back right after this, and I'll open the phone lines. Welcome back, and we have opened up the telephone lines. Let me give the numbers out. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. If you are in the USA or Canada, now that number, 623-444-5889, that works anywhere in the world, okay? You can call me on that number from anywhere. If you're in the USA or Canada and you need to call me on the long-distance toll-free number, you can do so, 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada and you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you can do something else. You can send me a flash message. Now, a flash message is easy to do. You just go to my website. Scroll down, you'll see the link that says Flash Message, and if you click it, you can send me your question or comments that way. All right, let's go to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
I have a friend over in Australia by the name of Tony, and he sent me an email and wanted me to ask you what's going on in Australia with their weather satellites showing what appear to be portals just off the Australian coast.
Right outside of Adelaide.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It appears that Colin Andrews has been posting information about this on his site, and Andrews said that on the 2nd, he went back to look at the map again that afternoon, and that it was down.
Yeah.
The site was down. and he wants to know what's going on.
It's a good question, isn't it? You know, north of there, northwest of there, in the Gulf of Aden, or Gulf of Aden, A-D-E-N, there is a, according to Dick Criswell, and according to some others that have been reporting on this on the internet, a Stargate has actually opened up, begun to open up. Some of the reports on the internet say that as many as 300 warships of various nations are all around this thing. And I read one report today that said some metallic, large metallic rings had appeared above the ocean, just above this this vortex in the water. And now, of course, my question is, I mean, that's all very interesting, but my question is, how reliable is that information? Where is this information coming from? How do we know there are 300 warships around it, and how do we know that metallic rings have appeared above it? That's pretty mysterious. And there's a report of two or three days ago, a 6.2 or 6.3 earthquake that happened in the Gulf area there, Somalia and Yemen. And this was not reported by any of the seismographic reporting stations. I'm not saying they didn't receive the information on their instruments, but this was not reported out to the public. So how do we know this report on the internet that there was an earthquake? How do we know that's true? I don't know. I think at this point, it's hard to tell. Hard to tell.
I think we have to rely on friends like Tony and Andrew and all those.
Well, let me say this. Either Tony or Andrew, I can't remember who, maybe it was Bob or Blue in Australia, some of the guys that send me stuff all the time. One of those, I can't remember now who, sent me the information about this Stargate opening up, or this portal or whatever opening up just offshore from Adelaide.
I think it was Tony. He told me he had sent you an email.
Okay. And there was a, he had captured the photograph of the weather satellite picture.
Yes.
And, so I have that. Even though they took it down, I've got it. And, but that's, yeah, that's a mysterious thing. Supposedly.
That's the question he wanted me to ask you. And, these, large objects that's been appearing near the sun,
mm-hmm.
inside the orbit of the NASA satellite that's orbiting inside the orbit of Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know if the sun itself was acting as a wormhole or black hole in allowing these things to come through.
Nassim Harriman, a physicist that has been a guest on this show, and he's sort of an out there on the edge physicist, you know, he's by out there on the edge, you know, he's willing to consider things that other physicists won't consider. He says that he thinks that's a very real possibility.
I know exactly who he is. I've seen some of his presentations, and he doesn't mind stepping out, that's for sure.
That's an understatement. That's an understatement.
Well, let me get off of here so others can call in, Kevin. And on behalf of Tony and all the rest of us, we thank you for the information.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. And we've converted the show tonight to an open line show. I had planned to do open line tomorrow night, but we just slid that right on into here since our guest had his phones killed. And looks like our video feed is hanging in there, but it's still under attack. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, you think you're under attack? No, you haven't heard from me yet.
Okay, let it fly.
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. Oh, boy. You know, by the way, the Gulf of Aden thing with the Stargate, there was an Aaron McCollum with an interview with Project Camelot that come up with information on that in the Gulf of Aden also.
Mm-hmm.
He started raising awareness to what he believes is going on there, and he also broke the story that they were starting to amass some warships over there. And this is where they're trying to keep this classified, but just because the mainstream media doesn't report on it doesn't mean that other people are not going to leak it. And that's what we've been seeing. And, you know, I want to get back to what I wanted to originally talk about, and that's, you know, me and what I feel about NASA. I kind of hold Richard Hoagland's idea what NASA's been up to for the last 30 years, and that statement that that fellow made about Buzz Aldrin going to Mars.
Yeah.
You know, there may be more truth to that than you may want to believe.
Oh, it has nothing to do with whether I want to believe it. I looked at it. I watched him, and I watched the context in which it was said. And they had been discussing the whole thing about stopping the moon program, and that, you know, they were supposed to build a base there and then use that to move on to Mars. And so it was just in that context. And, you know, I don't want to make too much of his age, but Cernan is not a young man. He's an old man. And I think it was a slip of the tongue. You don't see any reaction in his eyes like, oops, I shouldn't have said that. And it's just a slip of the tongue. Has nothing to do with what I want to believe.
Well, it could have been all. Yeah, that could be too. But I know that NASA has, you know, well, I think it was Neil Armstrong that flat out said, you know, truth has its protective layers. And if you remember, John Glenn, I think it was John Glenn, he was on Fraser one time, and, you know, despite the fact it was on a fictional show, he broke the fourth wall, and he started talking directly to the audience about what he saw up on the moon, you know, but on a fictional program, so people would probably think it was just, you know, fake what he was saying, you know. I don't like NASA. I know they've had a secret space program going for a long time.
Well, the military has had a secret space program.
Well, according to Richard Hoagland in his book, he said that NASA is a military agency. It's in its handbook, it's a military agency.
Well, it comes... let me tell you where that comes from. NASA is not a military agency. NASA...
Defense.
Well, NASA is... on a FEMA chart, it is shown as being under the Department of Defense, and on their letterhead, it's under the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. But they're not military.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Department of Defense. And so they're obviously not a quote-unquote civilian agency bent on giving us any truth of what they find up in space.
Yeah, but see, they never were.
No. And of course, you got to look at who funded this, the NASA. Also, you got to look at also the occult symbology of a lot of the dates that they made, all these moon landings, the Mars landings, and everything else. And I think with NASA, it's been more, I guess, maybe 50-50 science and religion.
Well, there's a good case to be made for that. What you're saying, a lot of people that are not familiar with this would probably think, "Oh man, that guy from Canada is nuts." But you're not. It is true that NASA has picked some dates for launches, for landings, etc., that have occult significance. Now, some people would say, well, that's just a coincidence. Maybe one would be a coincidence. Maybe two would be a coincidence. But time after time after time after time, that's not a coincidence. At least I don't think it is. And you're exactly right. They have rubbed shoulders with the occult in terms of the dates they pick.
Well, every single one of the Apollo astronauts were very high degree Masons to begin with, and you know there's no coincidence in that. That's for sure. Especially if you got ones of the Scottish Rite in there, and you know. But anyway, for those that think I'm nuts, I have to tell you, you know, I'm not all there, but I'm, at least I'm still here. And If you don't still don't believe me, I suggest they pick up the book Dark Mission by Richard C. Hoagland and give it a darn good read. Like, read it and don't just, like shrug it aside as, you know, mindless conspiracy theories and all this stuff. They should take a good look at it. And
well, let me ask you a question. What do you think ought to happen with NASA? You think they ought to close down?
Oh, boy. I think it needs to be seriously reorganized.
To do what?
I think they got to get the Nazis out of there. It was funded by Nazis to begin with. And Nazis, I think they got to get them out of there because I don't think they have the people's best interests in mind. I don't think they care about giving people any truthful knowledge about anything.
Okay, that's the past. We're giving you a blank check. What are you going to do with NASA?
What am I going to do with NASA? I'd say we keep it, but institute some brand new programs that will help humanity get through a lot of the problems that we're going through.
Such as?
Well, you know, there's some stuff happening in 2012, I think, is not to be ignored. And
but what would you do?
I'd say help build some colonies on the moon and Mars. I think they can do it. I think we've got the technology to do it. I think they've been either sitting on it or been utilizing it in very high secrecy for a very, very long time. I think, you know, renovating those glass domes on the moon might be a good start if they haven't already done it.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. I think, you know, they have the means to do and ability to do if we give them the money to do. We have to take a break, Kevin. Thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are open line tonight. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Petersound.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to say I'm rooting for the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Good man.
Because
I don't know. Is it legal for me to say who dat say gonna beat them Saints? Everybody claims they own that now.
Yeah, the Seahawks fans kind of relate because it's kind of the same kind of story. But back to what we were talking about, as far as NASA goes, I don't have any problems with NASA. I think that there's probably a few bad apples, just probably in the office at the top. But I think most of the astronauts and most of the people that they probably are just doing their job, and I think a lot of them are heroes.
Well, I agree with you. And look, here's what happens. It's the same thing happens with the news media. You know, I talk about lamestream media. Well, the reporters on the ground generally, you know, they go out and dig up stories, and someone at the top makes a decision up the line from them, that we're going to change this story. We're going to report it this way. And I've seen that happen. I've personally experienced it. I have seen it happen where a reporter reports something a certain way, and then when it comes out over the air, it's been switched around, and, you know, it's like the shell game, you know, which cup is the truth under? And I think the same thing happens at NASA. I think, you know, your average NASA employee, and these are not average people when it comes to intelligence, they're way above average. But the average NASA employee, whether it's an astronaut or a scientist or a secretary, they're just doing their jobs, and they're doing really excellent work, superior work, but somewhere up the line, a decision is made about what you and I get to see, about what you and I get to know. And it's those people, it's the keepers of the truth, the keepers of the secrets. Those people, in my opinion, what needs to happen is you double the budget and you have a house cleaning at the top. And you bring in people that really want to get space exploration done, and that they all that secrecy stuff, they're not into that. Let's just go out there and get this done and tell the people what we find. And if they did that, I'd be in absolute support of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another thing is a lot of people think when they talk about problems with NASA, NASA's a huge organization. I don't think it's fair to blame all of NASA, because there's a lot of astronauts and stuff that are just, they're doing their job, and not a lot of people are willing to suit up and go up in a bottle rocket into space and put your life at risk and all that. But this is the same thing.
This is true in every area, every strata of our society. We talk about the government and how corrupt it is. Well, we're not talking about everybody that works for the government. Basically, we're talking about the people with their hands on the levers of power, the people that are in Congress. And, time after time after time, we hear about their corruption and we find out about their corruption. The same is true at AIG. Not everyone who works for AIG is corrupt, but some people at the top thought it was necessary to take your money and hand it out by the millions as bonuses to people that put this country right at the brink of disaster.
And the banks have been doing this all the way since back before. They've been doing it for a while, but...
But most of the people that work at the banks are good, decent people.
There's a few bad apples.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you... if there's any astronomers that are listening, I don't know if there's anybody that kind of follows this kind of stuff, but I was curious. You know that that video of 1998, of two objects that were crashed into the sun, and I was I was just curious how rare that is because Nassim Haramein claimed that it was. He claims that there's a black hole in the center of everything, in the middle of the universe, in the middle of the sun, and possibly even in the middle of the Earth.
As a matter of fact, at the center of every atom.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that video, there was two comets. But what he says is that there's no tails on the comets. There's two of them and they go right into 19.45 degrees on the sun. Now, I just want to know how rare that is. Does that happen all the time, or what are the chances of one comet doing that, not alone two at the same time?
Yeah, it's pretty rare. That is pretty strange stuff. I don't know how rare it is. It's rare for us to know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right.
623-444-5889. Or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and Canada, so you know you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message. If you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, and you try to send me a flash message, it has about a 99% chance of not getting through, regardless of what country you say you're from. Okay, so if you click on the little deal and say you're from Uzbekistan, our filters still identify the IP address as being in the United States, and they filter it out. Now, that's reserved for people who are listening in countries across the world and don't want to make an international long-distance call. It's very expensive. In the USA and Canada, we have telephones. And I've even got one line where if you call it, I'll pay for the call. So there's no reason not to give us a call. All right. This whole thing about stargates opening up, there's a whole bunch of folks jumping on this bandwagon. Now, maybe it's true, and maybe it's not. And I think we have to keep our heads on our shoulders about this. On January the 5th, that's when something happened in the Gulf of Aden, that a lot of people are saying is the opening of a stargate. As I said, some of the reports out there on the internet say that there are as many as 300 ships, warships, around this thing, standing off, watching it, and, you know, 300 warships. Germany, the UK, USA, Japan, China, Iran, India was saying they have warships headed to the area. And then there's a Blackwater ship. At least that's what the reports on the internet say. Now, Dick Criswell was my guest on Monday night. I asked Dick about this. I called him earlier in the afternoon, told him about it, and asked him to see what he could find out. On the show that night, Dick Criswell said, you know, I checked with my sources, and my source says it's true. It is a stargate. All of those countries that you named have warships there. And then when Dick Criswell pressed them on this and pressed the source on this, who Dick says is a three-star general, he said that on the air. And he said, well, what about Blackwater? And he said the general's response was something like, yeah, they're there, but that's all I'm going to say about it. So, you know, when I read on the internet that there are 300 warships, you know, that's a whole bunch of warships in one small little gulf. We'll be back right after this.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, we are back. Now, I started this evening talking about some of the big things that are going on. And let me just recap some of those. Because I didn't give us actually a full list, and this won't be a full list either, but there's a lot of stuff happening. We have these objects that were photographed by the SOHO satellite. Now, these objects that were photographed by the SOHO satellite are in orbit around the sun. Now, there, look, you see, I almost said around the moon. It was just a slip. I think that's what Gene Cernan did in that in his interview on the news. I think he just slipped. It was just a slip of the tongue. Anyway, these things are in orbit around our sun, and the SOHO satellite has photographed them. And we did a show on this, and we said, you know, look, there's no way to tell exactly how close these things are to the sun. So you can't really tell how large they are. But if they're as close as they appear to be, then they're planet-sized. If they are as large as, I mean, if they are as close as they appear to be, then they're about Earth-sized. Then on January the 5th, this anomaly in the Gulf of Aden started, and all of these stories began about these warships that have gathered and are standing off observing it. All kinds of scientific people are supposed to be there. I mean, that's what the reports on the internet say. And then add to that, we also have this earthquake, that series of earthquakes that happened that led up to the earthquake in Haiti. There have been thousands, a swarm of earthquakes under the Yellowstone Supervolcano National Park. Are you aware of that? It's very active right now. There was an earthquake also in, I believe it was in New Guinea, or no, in New Guinea, or Guinea. There are these portals opening up off the coast of Australia. I mean, lots of stuff is going on. You live in a very exciting time. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, Kevin.
Hi, Brent.
Now, I have a question about this Gulf of Aden thing.
Okay.
This goes back into history a little bit. weren't some of the conditions of World War II, the surrender of Germany and Japan, that they could not have a military?
No. Not exactly. Yeah. Not exactly. The Japanese could not have a military that was dispatched to engage in battle away from Japan. They were allowed to have military for defense in Japan, sort of like National Guard.
Okay, so what are they doing in the Gulf of Aden?
Well, they're not engaged in battle.
Okay, what about Germany?
You know, I'm not real sure what the deal is with Germany, but look, they have an air force, and you know, I had a supervisor when I was a liaison officer. I was in a diplomatic mission in Kosovo. This is before I went back in as international police, and I was serving in a diplomatic role. And I had a supervisor there in one of my offices. Okay.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to explain. I'll make it simple. I had an area, and each place I went in that area, if there was an OSCE office, the head of that office was at my administrative supervisor while I was in that area.
Okay.
One of these guys was a fighter pilot. He was German, and he was from East Germany. Whenever the East and the West rejoined, some of those fighter pilots were selected for training to fly NATO aircraft, and he was one of them. So I know they've got an Air Force.
Man, just my memory says that Germany and Japan could not have standing armies, but I may be wrong.
Well, if that was I know that's not the case for Japan. If that was the case for Germany, then we've gotten past that.
Yeah. Okay, That's the only thing that was bothering me about that statement that Germany had warships there.
You want to do some internet research?
Sure.
I read on the internet today that the ship that Blackwater has is called the MacArthur.
MacArthur?
Yeah, see what you can find out about that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. Or toll free, 888-223-4599. From Columbia, we have a flash message that says, this is from Peter, regarding the Stargate in the Gulf of Aden, what is so ominous about a possible Blackwater connection? It's not ominous, as far as I know, Peter. It's weird. Because if, let's say we have a Stargate opening, let's say that that part of the story is true. I can fully understand nations sending military to stand by, not knowing what's going to happen. But Blackwater, now called Z, X-E, pronounced Z, is a private corporation. It's not a government, and it's not an authorized military. So it's strange. Now, I probably have used the word, that sounds ominous. I've probably said that, but I don't really mean it that way. I just mean it's very curious that there is a private ship in the mix. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. We have a flash message from John in the United Kingdom. So let's see what John has to say. Did you see this report on the internet? A huge fireball was seen over Iceland. It lit up the whole country. I just wondered if this was major news. No one knows if this was a UFO or not. Ireland is what I knew about. I did not know about one over Iceland. But I watched Irish news on television last night. Well, it was on the internet, but it was the Irish television news. And that report was on there. The astronomers in the area were saying that this was a major event. And they had footage of it. They showed it as it crossed the sky. And it looked like a fireball. And it had a trail of fire behind it. And they were saying this is a major event. This would be a fairly large object. And it should have made it to the ground. And they estimated where they thought it would have hit, and the search is on now to see if someone can find the remnants of it. So, yeah, it is major news. It is getting out there. It's around. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Torque from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Torque. How are you doing?
Great, Kevin. Long-time member.
Yeah. I see you in the chat room. By the way, this Saturday is our monthly chat.
I know. I keep missing it all the time.
Well, I've seen you in there.
Yes, I have been in there, and I always come usually about 15 minutes before it's over.
Yep.
I'm curious, Kevin, with all the different Tandria 1, the Indian satellite that orbits the moon. The Japanese, I think, have something up there.
They have the Cayuga. The Chandrayaan 1 was up there, but it went missing.
Okay. With even moderate technology of, say, Google Earth photograph equipment, if they could just, for once and for all, get a half-decent shot of the, what, three moon rovers that we are supposed to have up there at now?
Mm-hmm.
Or some remnants of the flags or, you know, footprints or sets of tracks, I think it would definitely reinstate my faith. A, that we went to the moon, and there's some other problem that needs looking into. Because I'm of the belief now, I'm not so sure that you know what's up actually.
Okay, so you have some doubts about whether we actually went to the moon.
Yes, and When I first seen them in 69, my dad and I were watching TV, and he mentioned, astute as he was, he said, "I didn't know there was wind on the moon." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, the flag's waving."
You know, there was even some comment about that at the time.
Yeah.
I remember watching that, and when Apollo 11 landed on the moon, ostensibly, I was in I was out on a date, and I was in Pizza Hut, and they turned on a television in Pizza Hut, and the first time I had ever seen it, this Pizza Hut fell silent. This was a Pizza Hut that was like the hangout for all the teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
And silence was not something you found in there. This place fell silent, and everybody watched. And I remember when there was the planting of the flag, and it was waving, and the commentators on the live news feed even talked about it.
Yeah. Well, it was a special time. We were hanging on every word and wondering it was the biggest event of mankind. And to top it off, now we did have live video of Neil Armstrong stepping on the moon, 1 foot, however he precisely said it, for man.
Yeah, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
All right, just to scoot past it, you know, who set the camera up to see him come down the ladder? That was one thing my dad said. He said, "What did they do, hang it out the window?"
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I happen to know.
Okay.
At least I have an answer. I can't say I know it's true. When I was in college, one of my advanced math professors was the engineer that developed an arm that deployed with a camera for the purpose of photographing that.
Okay. That would work.
Maybe. I've always wondered, but that's what he told us.
Sure, that would work. And since we did have a live feed on the moon with the Hasselblad cameras, I think,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't we have set up either a solar panel to double up with the batteries on the moon rover to at least have a running history of video for archival sake?
That makes sense, and that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
It's against the rules, you know.
Yeah, I know.
To make sense.
I'm getting way off.
Listen, you're talking about having these for archival purposes, but you're talking about NASA. NASA has destroyed as many of the moon archives as they can find.
Oh my God.
I mean, roll after roll of film. Roll after roll of telemetry data. They've gotten rid of as much as they could possibly get rid of.
Oh, my God. On the greatest event, it puts penicillin to shame. But what else have we done as a whole group of mankind to something so great, that film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't done anything that even nearly approaches this. And listen, one of the emails I read at the beginning says, talking about NASA, it says, "These guys have putzed around for the past 3 decades. That's well said.
Yeah, it is.
What have they done since? Very little. That's of tremendous interest or tremendous consequence for mankind, so far as I can tell. Now, they've got this orbiting space station, and what's going on at the space station?
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I heard they were mixing metals and doing biology experiments 20 years ago.
Well, see, I was willing to buy the space station idea for this reason. They said in the beginning that we've got to get a lot of data. We've got to learn a lot before we head on to Mars. So we have to have the space station, and we're going to learn a whole lot about long-term living in space and its effects upon the human physiology, upon our health. We've got to learn how to do medicine in space. I could buy that. Well, now that the president says, or his panel says, the moon is canceled and Mars is out. Yeah, so now I got to ask, so why do we need a space station?
Right. The moon should be our space station.
Well, the whole space station thing was sold to us as a stepping stone to move out beyond, further than the moon, to go to Mars. That's the way it was sold to us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now if we're not going, I say let the air out of the tires, deorbit the thing, forget it because it's costing us money, and we're not going to do what they said we were going to do.
I agree.
Besides, I want to see that thing when it reenters. That's going to be one heck of a fireball.
A quick note for the listeners, the many listeners that you have throughout the world. I'm trying to connect someone that has seen it the same day. On 9/11, when all that stuff was going down, I caught a snippet of 2 or 3 minutes, maybe, of Fox News commenting on Germans in fighter craft protecting our coastline or doing something in the coastline. And they had some hot video of it, and I've never seen it again. I was wondering if anyone else had seen such things.
We'll find out. If anybody else saw it or knows about it, they can give us a call. That's my first time to hear it.
Yep.
Okay, man, thanks for the call. I have to move along.
All right, thanks. All right,
bye. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Yeah, see, why have a space station if the goal is not to step out beyond low Earth orbit? If what we're doing there really isn't about getting us ready to go to Mars, what are we doing? I mean, that's what they told us in the beginning. They told us there would be all kinds of science done on the space station. They told us that the purpose of it was to get us in a position where we knew enough and had accomplished enough scientifically that we could go to Mars. Now we're being told not only are you not going to Mars, you're not going back to the moon. Okay, close the space station, hang an out of business sign on it, let the thing deorbit, and let's quit spending the money at all. I mean, either that, or someone in Washington has to get some sense about them and reinstate the money to NASA for the moon mission. Because the purpose of the moon mission is to build a base from which they can launch to Mars. That's what they told us. Now, I wonder, you know, we talked about these big momentous things happening in our solar system and maybe around the galaxy. I don't think you were actually supposed to know. I don't think you were actually supposed to see the photographs of these things that have taken up orbit around the sun. They're not stars. They're not planets. these are things that were not there, and now they are. I don't think you were really supposed to see these, but they leaked out. We got them. And I don't mean just this show got them. I mean, we people, we got them. They're out on the internet, and we got them. So now we know. That being the case, I wonder, are there other really big, momentous developments like this that are happening out around the solar system, and we're being kept in the dark about it? That's entirely possible, isn't it? Leonardo from Puerto Rico says, if the Stargate issue were true in the Gulf of Aden, would that mean that all the media in the world were in the tank with the powers that be? Yes, it would, I think. And see, that's another reason that I'm not real sure about the information that's on the internet with regard to this. I'm not real sure about the veracity of that information. It may be all true. But, you know, not all the media in all the world is friendly to the United States or to NATO. And I would suspect that if this thing were happening as described, the media around the world somewhere would be breaking this story, I think. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We had to go open line tonight because our guest was going to talk with us about something that apparently someone thought was a little too sensitive. And his phones went dead. And I have email contact with him, but his phones are dead. I'm surmising that it's because of that. It could be something else. But it is also true that our connection at the beginning of the show was getting hit hard. And you put the two together, and, well, you know, it's sort of like this. If you walk into a house and way back in the back of the house is the kitchen and they're cooking cabbage, you don't even have to go in there and look into the pot to see it's cabbage. You can smell it. You know it's cabbage. So, you know, if it smells like cabbage, it's probably cabbage. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. The lines are open if you have a question, a comment, or you've got a topic we haven't discussed and you'd like for us to talk about it. Give me a call. The toll free number is toll free in the USA and Canada. 888-223-4599. If you can call, if you're on a calling plan where you can call and it doesn't cost you anything for long distance, call me on the main number, please. 623-444-5899. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I was wondering what your thoughts were on the Glocken.
On the what?
Glocken.
I'm not sure I know what it is.
It's the Nazi UFO, the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, the Nazi Bell. Well, I think there's good evidence that it worked. There's enough anecdotal evidence around, including sketches, testimonies of people who said they saw it happen, etc. I think it worked.
Okay.
And, you know, did were they able to advance its development after the war? Well, there's certainly no reason why they shouldn't have been able to. Half of the scientists were sent to Russia. A whole bunch more of them came here with Project Paperclip. An SS major by the name of Werner von Braun went to NASA and headed our manned space exploration program. So, you know, could they have advanced it after the war? I think certainly they could have. All right, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. All right, we have a flash message from Tony in Australia, and he says, "Hi, Kevin, I'd like to say a big thank you to Mike for telling you about the portals near Australia's coastline. Do you think that all these stargates and portals that are opening up are trying to tell mankind something, like the crop circles are trying to tell us?" No, I don't think so. I think whatever they've been trying to tell us, is the time for telling us may be over. If those are stargates, if that's what that is, then they exist for the purpose of travel and transport. And so if that's what is happening, if they are stargates, something's going to be coming through those stargates, and I would surmise that the time for telling and talking would be over. It's sort of like, okay, hi, y'all, we're here now. I think. Might be wrong about that, but I think that would be the case. A question came up earlier about can Germany and Japan have standing military? I have a flash message from Ralph in Germany, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. It answers the question for Germany, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Kevin. It just kind of seems like an awful lot of threads are kind of unraveling a little bit in my mind. As far as the space program getting shut down like that, maybe it's to the point where they know, you know, really there's no sense even keeping the facade up anymore, you know, because they're going to know sooner or later that we're farther ahead than what we've been telling them.
Or not.
Yeah, or not.
Maybe we're not as far ahead as they've been trying to lead us to believe that we are. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I suspect, I suspect we're way, way ahead of the technology that we watch fly. I suspect that's true. But, it's always a possibility that we're not. You know, let's say that these reports of stargates opening are true, and I don't know. But let's assume that they are. Then maybe it would make sense to say, look, it's useless to go back to the moon. It's useless to go build all this stuff to go to Mars. We've got some big-time visitors that are about to be here, and, a lot of these questions are about to be answered, so forget it.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be that.
Look back to it. Let's say the Pickering brothers were absolutely correct on the UN meeting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's some unambiguous, disclosure by them if these things do truly manifest themselves and you got stuff coming out of them and people do start to catch on to the story. Now what are you going to do?
Well, do you know who Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is?
Oh, yeah, or as my dad likes to call him, Dinner Jacket.
Dinner Jacket, that's right. He's made the statement now a couple of times that on February the 11th, there was going to be something happen over the USA that would demonstrate to the world that that Iran is a serious nation. Well, February 11th, you know, we're not far away. Is it related to this Stargate? I don't know. There's an again, assuming that the reports that are on the internet are even sort of close to accurate. Several of those reports say that Iran has a warship, at least one warship, in that group of allegedly 300 warships. But, I mean, have you taken a look at the map or a picture of the Gulf of Aden?
Yeah, I did. I took a gander at it after watching your vlog there. I wanted to kind of familiarize myself with it.
I don't see how you could put 300 warships in there.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. And you think that we have so much access to weather satellite data, things like that. I think that some determined person would be able to pull up some imagery and get a picture of that area. You would be able to see 300 warships, that's for certain.
You know, if that's if, like, Google Earth is allowing current photos to be shown of that area.
Yeah. Or maybe even through some kind of, you know, like maybe a USGS site or something similar. There seems to be so many satellite imagery places now.
Yeah, but you can bet this.
Enterprising would find something.
You can bet the farm on this. If that's a Stargate, everyone with a satellite has been well convinced that they're not to show those images.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even really think about that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not the powers to be for no reason at all.
Well, they can shut down radio stations, TV stations, and the internet. They also can shut down satellites.
Yeah. Now, wouldn't that be odd if they realized that maybe ET had a way of controlling our satellites or shutting all of our communications down so they could be able to maybe have their own podium to speak at, and all the HAARP antennas were just giant microphones for our military to communicate back and forth to when everything got shut down?
Well, you know, we'll see. If these stories are true, we're going to see things we never even dreamed possible, not even when we were watching the best CGI science fiction movies. If this is real, we're going to see things that go way beyond science fiction.
Yep. And I'll have to say, a couple of years ago, there was almost kind of like a little bit of dread kind of with the whole 2012 stuff and things kind of revealing themselves. But I'm almost kind of like nervous anticipation right now, because I'm thinking that, you know, we might be on the verge of truly being able to witness something that, you know, mankind historically for the species is just, you know, unparalleled in our time. It would be wonderful, you know, either way, I guess, to kind of see how things go.
Well, I think either way, whether this is real or not real, I think we're all in for a pretty rough ride.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we're going to come through it, and on the other side of it, I think things are going to settle down into something pretty good.
Yep, and with people such as yourself and your listeners, Kevin, you know, good level-headed people that are going to do right by their species, you know, we're going to get through it no matter what it is. So,
well, I think we will. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call.
You have a good one, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, I think whatever it is that's coming, we're going to get through it. Look, there have been these extinction events in the past that the scientists tell us about, and I don't think one's coming. But there have been in the past, and we live through it. The fact that you're here worried about the future is proof that the past didn't kill us. All right. From Germany, we've got this flash message from Ralph. Caller, hang on just a moment, and let me read this. It says, okay, I'll have to do that when we come back because we have a break taking over in just a few seconds. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure will, Kyle.
All right. You hang in there, and when we come back from this break, we'll take this flash message from Germany, and then we'll take our caller, and we forge forward. But remember, the fact that you're here, worried about the future, means we made it through everything that's happened in the past, right? So there's a pretty good chance we're going to make it through whatever's coming. I don't expect that there's going to be a world-busting extinction event. I really don't. We'll be back. We are back, and caller, just hang on a moment. Let me read this very quickly from Germany. This is from Rolf in Germany, and he says, to answer the question about German military, yes, we're allowed to build up a standing army of about 500,000 men back in the mid-1950s when we became a member of NATO. We were frontline then. This number has been reduced since the end of the Cold War, and yes, we have a navy. Primarily destroyer-class ships and the world's most sophisticated conventional U-boats. We learned that from our grandfathers, and then there's a smile. We're part of several international military activities worldwide. For instance, the coast of Somalia, Afghanistan, coast of Lebanon. There is a good chance for being part of international activities in the Gulf of Aden, too, I should think. All right, Rolf, thank you very much. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I'd agree with, about that standing army. Once they divided that up, I'm sure the United States didn't want to carry all the weight and, allowed them, some kind of military. I mean, they didn't even take the military away from Saddam. And for years and years, they've been pushing Japan fort their own bill and protect themselves, because, the United States, is getting tired of carrying the bill and the responsibility of protecting them. That's been in the news for years and years. So as far as that, and they are building an army right now and ships, quite a bit. They're, mm-hmm. they're really putting a lot of money into it. They didn't like us to have nukes there, but besides that, they did want them to take care of themselves. But also, I just wondered. You talk to Jerry a lot. I know you don't like to speak about somebody else, but about this. Supposedly his porthole. Knowing Jerry, I think he'd be all over that. Did he, share any information with you that you could, share?
You're talking about this portal in the Gulf of Aden?
Yeah.
No, there's and there really wouldn't be a way for him to be all over that because if it's going on, there's very precious little news coming out about it. The stuff that's on the internet, the question I have is, how do you know? To the people that put this stuff on the internet, it may be true. But then my question is, okay, so how do you know? Because if all official sources are quiet on this.
Well, you got people there in Australia and stuff. Somebody's got to know something.
Well, Not necessarily. How much do you really know about what your government's doing?
That's correct. But I mean, you know, like, you know, if they see something, you know, if somebody sees something, you know, the government might not want you to talk about it, but yet you say, yeah, well, I've seen a UFO or, you know, et cetera, you know.
Well, there, people have seen these satellite photographs of something happening off the coast, just off the coast of Adelaide, and maybe some other places too, but I know about that one. But then, okay, so now you have a satellite picture of it, and now all you have is questions, and there are no answers. It goes silent. And the same thing is true with the Gulf of Aden. We have the photograph that those of you who are watching the TV channel tonight have seen that photograph a couple of times tonight. I put it up there, showing a sort of a vortex right off of the coast of Yemen. Okay, well, okay, we've got that. Now what? Nothing but questions, and there's no answers coming. So either it's silent because there's nothing to this, and the military is like, we don't know. We didn't see it. And, you know, it's just not true. Or the other possibility, it is true. It is a Stargate, and this is classified as high as you can classify something. And the world militaries have all agreed together to put a lid on it. I mean, those are the only two possibilities I see.
You know, it's like 300 ships. I mean, that's a lot of mouths to shut up.
Yeah, well, if, in fact, there are 300 ships. I don't know how you could put 300 ships in the Gulf of Aden.
Yeah.
Maybe you can. I don't know. But I don't know how you could.
Yeah, well, at least in the vicinity, they all probably don't need to be right there. But the other thing is, if, you know, these portals are true, you know, and they're opening up, and let's say, you know, alien civilizations have means of travel that way, what's that say about UFOs? I mean, to me, that'd be like, you know, I could take a Concorde to, you know, wherever in an hour, but you know, and you know, but yet I'll take, you know, a horse and buggy instead, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this physicist that we were talking about, Nassim Haramein, he says that he thinks it's possible that the entrances to stargates on Earth may actually be in volcanoes. Now, you have to watch his video to hear his explanation of it, but he says, you know, and there's a whole lot of UFO activity that is reported around volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I believe that, you know, it must be possible because there's been, you know, this ain't the first time I heard about these ships around the sun, you know. There's a site on the internet, I can't really remember the name of it, but it shows several different solar pictures, you know, in all different colors and stuff, you know, and for years they've been showing like these rectangle and triangle things, you know, around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
They've been, you know, that I've been seeing on the internet, you know, and they've been wondering what they are. And like I said, they, you know, they've even talked about where it looks like, you know, they were like even shooting at each other, you know, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I've seen those. I've seen those very interesting things. Listen, I got to run, but thanks for the call.
Yep, take care.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number, and we have time. No, I don't know. Well, if you were to call right now, we might could get your call in. 888-223-4599. It's been an interesting night, that's for sure. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? You have to make it quick.
Hello, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick. We got less than a minute.
I just want to defend NASA. I know they're not perfect.
but they're the only source of information we've had. If we get rid of them, the military, nobody else is going to give us any information. For Kevin from North Bay, let's talk Canada into pitching in the other $18 billion. Let's make it a joint effort, you know.
There you go.
I've paid my taxes for 50 years and supported NASA.
Well, then we can call it NASA, eh?
Yeah, that's true. But
I love Canada, and I had to do that. I actually do love Canada. It's a wonderful place. Got to run. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Well, folks, it's been an interesting night. It started out interesting in the afternoon as we tried to solve the telephone problems that our guest was having, as he tried to solve them. It's just been interesting. But, you know, big momentous things are happening in our part of the galaxy, in our neighborhood, and right here on Earth. Big, interesting things happening. One of the things that we do is we try to bring you as accurate and as fresh a batch of news about that as possible. So I hope you'll join us for every show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.